Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
Open VoIP 1088. Open VoIP 1088.
There is currently one other participant in the conference.
Hello. Is anybody on the conference?
Open VoIP 1088. Open VoIP 1088.
Is anybody on the conference bridge? Anybody?
There are currently two other participants in the conference.
Hello, this is Jazz Mass.
Hey, Jazz. Jazz Mass,
hey.
This is Developer.
Hey, Developer. How are you tonight?
I'll be fine once I turn off the my VLC. Hold on. I'm hearing three echoes. There it is. Okay. Ah. Oh, good. I was about to disconnect.
Open VoIP 1088.
I unplugged my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, of course, my microphone was picking up the speaker. So.
Right. I thought I heard that when I first connected.
Yeah, apparently my that device is on its way, the ATX, but did you ever have a tracking number, but all they did is enter when it was about to be picked up and you never got anything since?
I think USPS is kind of like that you don't often get the in-transit updates.
Yep.
You'll just get that it's been picked up for delivery, that it's hit the main station and it's in transit, and that's it. and then you might get a message. You might get an update when it hits the final post office. In other words, the one that services your mailbox, and then it'll maybe tell you when it's out for delivery. But I don't think it gives you any of the in between.
Yeah, it's rare. But it does happen, and I guess that's what happened with this shipment. When I sold stuff on eBay, sometimes I'd have that with a customer. I felt so bad for them, and they'd ask, and I'd say, it's really on its way. It's not my fault.
Yeah, it's like I put it in the mail. It's not a false, I put it in the mail to get you off my back. It's like, no, it's been delivered. It's just a matter of their tracking system is not updating.
Yeah, I'm not going to bug them because they did their part, you know,
right.
the shipper, as far as I know.
Right. If they issued you a number and it's, you know, in the system, then you're probably fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that, though, because I like to know, you know, roughly.
Right. I know. Every point gives you an idea as to when the actual delivery date is going to be.
Yeah. And this set a week, you know, and it's coming from California and it's being sent first class.
Right.
And
so
that's
probably more like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, probably tomorrow. So it's a mystery. Yeah, looking forward to that. An Asterix box would be nice too, but I don't have a separate machine for that, and I don't really want to tie up this computer with anything.
Yeah.
I guess that's the other alternative. I don't know what you need as far as cards.
It depends what you're going to do with the Asterisk box. If you want to actually, if you already have an ATA, you can still continue to use that for your end connection. In other words, I think Asterisk is perfectly capable of routing SIP sessions, but if you wanted to sort of like cross-connect stuff, you know, it might be handy. But I mean, if you want a direct, you know, extension from Asterisk, then yeah, you probably need a box and you need a card.
Yep, I'd probably be out more money that way, almost for sure, than just the ATA.
Although historically there were a couple ATAs that there were very lightweight Asterisk distributions that ran on the hardware, like the I don't know about now, because by today's standards, those things are pretty old. I think there was like a Linksys model that was popular because it was relatively easy to unlock.
Yep. Do you remember Goldmine?
No, I can't say that I do.
I think it was Gold something. I think it was Goldmine. And it was more of a PBX voicemail system. And I worked at an alarm company in Tampa, Florida, dispatching alarms. And what we had there was a UL-listed building, which meant it was fireproof. It wasn't necessarily bomb-proof, but it was bomb-resistant.
Right.
Because and it was open 24 hours. I mean, they didn't have a lock on the door because someone was always in there. It locked from the inside, dispatching, and it had to have all those qualifications in order to, you know, if a bank is being held up, for instance, and then somebody can break in and put a gun to somebody's head that's supposed to dispatch the alarm, they can get away with it. So it had to be a pretty secure facility. But back then, they used to charge. They might still do this. Well, you don't really hear about 900 lines anymore.
Right.
But they had 900 numbers used to charge by how far you were from the switching station.
Right.
And we were like less than a quarter mile, probably an eighth of a mile. The switching station was right across the street. So we started getting, my boss started getting approached by these companies saying, we notice you have this building here and it's all lit up and there's people here 24 hours. If we paid you a certain amount, would you let us put a box in here? So what we ended up having were about three or four different computers in the back. Mm-hmm. And it was rare that people would even come in.
Right.
And one was a dating service. Another one was surf reports and ski reports and stuff like that. So they had different things back then. The guys from the dating service really made me think because they pulled up, two young guys, and they pulled up in a Mercedes. And we talked to them. And I was working with another guy on the night shift, and they said, I'll tell you what, you guys get a free account and all the access to the box that you need if I call in the middle of the night or I call and I need for you to reboot the computer or type some commands in, could you do that? So we did. And they had a dummy terminal set up, you know, in the back. It was just like probably a 10-inch screen sitting on top of the actual tower with just a keyboard, no mouse back then. And he'd say, okay, can you type in this, this, and this, and type in reboot? No idea what they were running on the thing. But it was cool, and we had fun playing around on it. So, you know, voicemails. Never met any girls off of it, but had some responses. We both didn't care. So we left really stupid, you know, we were playing around, and we left stupid ads for ourselves.
And, give me a second. My sister just walked into my apartment.
Sure.
I have to talk to her.
Yeah. Is she with
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.
Okay, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I'm just hanging out, doing some other stuff in the background anyway. So.
Yeah, my sister was asking me, she's like, is your T-Mobile service working? And I'm like, I haven't had T-Mobile in some time. She's like, what do you have now? Like AT&T, unfortunately, but...
There was something good about T-Mobile. I forget what it was. Was it international calling?
There was a point in time when you could roam. It wasn't... I don't know about...
You're right.
You could roam across, you know, into Canada or Mexico, and it would just work. The rates would be much higher, though.
Oh, okay. I think that's what it was. It was about if you go to another country, and if it's one of these countries and they're tied in, you don't have to change anything when you're there.
Right, if they're on the North American dialing plan, like Mexico and Canada, and probably some other Central and South American countries, I guess. You would probably just roam, and you would just pay whatever data rate. Like, I think it would, you know, when I had a pay-as-you-go T-Mobile service back in the day, I would just do that, and it would be expensive. You know, it'd be like $1.50 a minute expensive, but, you know, if you needed to get a call,
yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah, that's...
As opposed to having to jump through some special hoop to turn on international roaming for a weekend when you're in Canada or Mexico and get charged $25, $30 just for a couple minutes, you know, for probably less than 30 minutes of service.
I think I can. I've got Verizon prepaid, and it's only $5 more a month for Canada and Mexico. So
yeah.
Well, with prepaid, they can't lock you in anyway.
Right.
So I think you can just buy it as an add-on.
Open VoIP 1088.
And then drop it if you're not going to those countries. Or...
Yeah.
There are currently 3 other participants in the conference.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. The Daily Scad.
Oh, is that the guy up there in Seattle?
Yes, that is.
Thought so. You can't tell. You never know which microphone you're going to be on, or what.
Or if you're driving in your car and it's and you're like shouting at the phone because it hit the floorboard.
Oh, well. You know what, I should probably try talking quieter because, you know, that's the thing. It's like when you think the mouthpiece is away from your mouth that you have to yell for some reason. So maybe I'm just overmodulated.
Yeah, well, the other issue, too, is that, you know, a lot of modern cell phones don't have, the classic hybrid device in them. So, like in your old handsets, the hybrid device would basically bleed a little bit of your... a little bit of your receiver into your earpiece, so you didn't get shouting at the phone kind of scenario.
Right, you'd have side tone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is true. I mean, that's probably why people, because that's right. Cell phones are very much half duplex when it comes to communication, so that's probably why people yell at their phones.
Yeah.
But if you're using like a standard 500 derived Western Electric set, you'll hear your own voice and you'll quiet yourself down.
Man,
isn't that just incredible?
Yeah, I know. I've had this conversation with other people. It's like, you know, it's the primary reason why people, you know, shout into the phone, to get no feedback as to what their volume level is.
Interesting.
I feel that way now.
Like
I have.
What?
Oh, sorry. I have new headphones, and they're over the ear, and they're like noise canceling, and I can't hear myself. So it feels better if I take the left ear off, like a little bit, like slide it back, because they're so good that I can't hear myself, and it drives me crazy. I like the radio, right. Or I was a DJ. I probably sound like an 80s DJ when I do my music stuff, and I'm trying to avoid that, sounding that way. But you get that. You get the audio through the headphones. You can hear your own voice, and that's good. You can with a mix program, too, a little bit. So.
You have to do a jingle, something like, developer in Bozeman.
Flame throwing the hits at you, babe. Yeah, we used to get yelled at for that. We would play it up sometimes.
Throws?
Well, they told us to use a natural voice, even in the 80s. You know, DJ thing was going out, and they were like, don't do that. Just talk like you're talking to somebody, you know, right in the room. But it's hard. When you do jingles or you do commercials, though, you do a different type of voice. Then it is, you do want to sound excited. Not just like you're talking.
Sure. Wow.
So it's hard to switch from one to the other. I used to come on after Larry King, so my shift was 3 in the morning. Every night it was 3 to 6 a.m. and all day on Saturday, sometimes Sundays. I was going to college, too, full-time, so it was rough. And I didn't make that much money because it wasn't full-time.
Wow.
KFKA. It was an AM station, too, middle of the road. I played, like, Helen Reddy and the Platters and Elvis and the Beatles and Glenn Campbell. And then they went adult contemporary for, like, a couple months. So I had to play Prince Purple Rain and after Purple Rain. It was, like, 85, I think. And then they went back to middle of the road. It was just a failed idea. Nobody wanted adult contemporary AM.
Yeah, adult contemporary AM. I just imagine like Hall & Oates and stuff like that. But with things that are mixed for stereo but played in mono.
Yep. And I filled in across the hall at KGBS. I was at KFKA AM, and that's in Greeley, Colorado. And then across the hallway was the FM side, and I kind of interned there, sat in, and filled in a couple nights. But my main gig was on the AM side. It was KGBS was more music, less talk. And the first night I was on the air, I said it the other way around. And I don't think anybody noticed, but I said, we're more talk, less music on KGBS. But they say never acknowledge a mistake, and 90% of the time people won't even know.
Oh, sure, yeah. Or you could use the, can't you use the 7-second button and just, like, mute yourself, essentially?
Open VoIP 1088.
Yeah, you'd have call-ins, and, you know, if you had prank callers and stuff, you'd have your finger on the trigger in order to delay it, but I don't remember it being very long. Yeah, and the female DJs, they sound a lot different than they look. That was something I learned pretty quick. That's all I'll say about that.
Wow. Uh-oh, you're going to get in trouble, developer.
They show up in their sweats, you know, and they're just kind of like no makeup and wearing their sweats. But you hear them on the radio, and it's like, whoa, that voice. And then you see them, and you're like, oh, well, she's kind of nice, I guess.
You're digging a hole for yourself.
I bet it's the same with the men. I bet the ladies think the same with the men. They're picturing some big,
yeah,
you know, macho guy. So.
Right, right, and there's some short, you know.
Short balding with a ballet, right?
Right, right, exactly.
A nerdy Poindexter type.
Gray beard.
Yeah, but they try to be a little cool, so they have eyeliner or something like that. Something just really kind of just, okay. Hey, let's see. What was I going to say? Are you going to get a slot then, developer? Are you going to get your own radio slot, your own radio show?
Well, Snowdusk was encouraging me to do that, and he told me, like, you get on the list. And I didn't know there was a non-radio list. So
yeah, you should. Yes, you know how to get on the mailing list.
I imagine it's the same as the amateur. You do a subscribe deal.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's just an on Rio-L. So send a you can send a list command to majordomo@sdf.org, and it'll send you all the lists. And then you can do a subscribe and on Rio-L and send that to majordomo@sdf. I think there's an alias for listserv, too.
I think that's on the Anon Radio website somewhere, isn't it? Like how to do this?
Yeah, that's right. It is.
I
go
think
for
it.
What?
I was going to say the only slot that really looks good would be the night Snow Dusk isn't on, in order to get some of that those people listening. Much later, you run into this, into Open VoIP, and then you got open mic, and I can't come on after that. I'm already asleep. Weekdays are kind of
okay.
Tough. So I was thinking Thursday and Saturday at the same time Snow Dusk comes on.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea because I noticed in the listener graphs that even on the days that he's not there, people will still
tune in around that time out of habit.
Yeah.
It's funny. Because it's UTC, so they, I don't know. Whatever reason. Well, that'll be cool. Everybody gets in a groove for that. And then it's the nice thing, though, I like about that idea of you coming on before open mic, is then you can promote open mic and then, open VoIP and open mic. You can promote both of those in your show like Snowdust does, and then maybe we'll get more people doing open mic and testing the waters out.
Yeah, that would be good.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I guess it sounds good. I've been having fun with it. Like last night I got on there. I wasn't going to do it last night, but I was on here talking to Lars a little bit, and then I thought, to heck with it. I was looking through some of my music, and it was like 18 minutes after. So I went ahead and just played a punk rock set for like 10 minutes or 12 minutes or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Stuff, so.
Hey, I think I missed a question that Lars had. He was asking if, I think it was him who asked it when I called maybe like 5 days ago. He was asking if Mastodon was causing the rise in listeners on Anon Radio, and I started talking about user interface getting away from the keyboard or whatever, but I think that's right. I think Mastodon is definitely
helping
a lot with Anon Radio. Yeah, definitely, and SDF in general. I think it is because it's just there's a lot of people that are on Mastodon. I mean, and there's so many internet that just have no idea of all the things that go on port 80, port 4, port 3, you know, beyond, you know, the limited use that they might use. So it's good that we're getting new blood.
I think it's good to use tags on there, too, because we got a tray of bees when he came in, and he had a lot of knowledge. And I think that he must have heard, he did hear about it from Mastodon, but somebody must have been searching for VoIP or something. I mean, I don't think he was randomly following somebody, so he was probably, somebody did the VoIP hashtag or SDF or something, and then he happened to catch it right then. So
someone did maybe a hashtag VoIP or something along with a non-radio announcement or something like that.
Open VoIP
1088. Yeah, so it is good. I've gotten the hang of it. I'm not quite like Snowdusk with the nimble fingers, but I'm saying that now because I know he's in comm. But I did a couple during my little sets. I did a couple album covers and said, hey, this is what's playing right now. And I think that helps. It grabs people. It's probably good to do it before the show instead of, like, right during it because they might already be... I don't know when a good cutoff is, like, maybe an hour or a half hour before to promote your own show and then give people at least a chance to get in there instead of, like, midway through.
Yeah, it's a possibility. possibility, I guess. You know, if the the person on the prior block will tease the next guy coming up, and then also you can probe, send an announcement out on Mastodon or other things. Like, I guess you could also push it down the Anon Radio mailing list too. When
yeah,
something's going on.
I think my show might be like either you like that kind of music or you don't. It's I'll do a variety, I think, but it's all kind of a dark theme. I think Snow Dusk pulls from more genres, and it's a little bit more accessible than what my stuff will be. But that's the way it is. That's what I have. You know, I mean, that's what I've got. My collection is so. I might do an occasional just punk, but I could deplete that pretty quickly because I don't listen to it as much anymore, but I have a little bit around. Okay, Snowdust just alerted me to how to sign up with that deal.
Yeah,
so.
The Major Domo email list and the subscribe.
Yeah, that's right. You just put it in the body. No subject line. Okay. Yeah, I'll just try not to sound like an 80s DJ. It's hard not to, you know, sometimes.
I know. Like, you just want to act up and act out. you want to enunciate, and then it gets out of hand fast, right?
And you don't really have to announce every song, like, before and then after. Sometimes it's hard to slip in and slip out. It doesn't hurt, I guess. But might be good to let a song play or two and then say, you just heard. It's hard
or even just do a block, you know. In other words, play three songs and then, you know, after the set, you maybe squeeze in what just played. I mean, you know, we've got tagging going on both in the comm channel and in the MP3 stream. It seems to come through too. If it's set.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's good for backup. I don't assume everybody's on there because they might just be streaming other stuff.
Right, and there may be people that are not SDF members, but, you know, they listen to it because there's interesting stuff. You know, discovered this hidden gem and there's interesting stuff that's different than what they normally find on streaming radio.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing, is turning people on to stuff they might not have heard before.
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conveyor station.
So I went and I pulled my stuff out of storage. I've got my WISE WY60 terminal and my Western Electric style telephones out of storage. I'm not on it right now. I'm not on it now. I was going to, but it's like, okay, where are my couplers and my line splitters? It's like, I don't know. Why aren't there a bunch of them in the box with the phones? I didn't want to take the main handset offline. I have a tendency to like to pace and walk around when I'm talking on the phone. It's different, like when I'm working for home office and I'm sitting at the desk. That's a different matter. But I don't know, maybe I'll drop the call for a second. And I'll call back in on it and see what you say. See what you think. If it sounds any different or any better or any worse. So the one I've got on hand right now is the avocado green rotary, but I've got a Radio Shack touch tone dialer, so that's going to do the business for me. So give me 1 second. I'm going to hang up, and then I'll call right back in.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Open VoIP 1088.
Flame throwing the hits at you, babe. Yeah, I try not to sound like an 80s DJ, but it's kind of like I'm considering this whole opportunity like somebody cast a 25th level resurrection spell on an 80s DJ, and then he rose up and came back and grabbed a microphone, and it's like, what's going
on? There are currently two other participants in the conference.
Hey, this is Jazz Maz.
That doesn't sound quite as good.
Really? Is it muted, or is it...
It sounds kind of muffled, kind of like... I mean, it's not bad. It's just you sounded better before.
Okay, what about now?
Try it again.
What about now? Any better, any worse?
There are currently three other participants in the conference.
A little bit worse. It's almost like it sounds like you have your hand between you and the mic.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fooling around with it. I just made another change. Any worse, any better? Or the same, pretty much.
Let me put my other ear on. I can tell better. Yeah. I think it sounds about the same.
Okay.
I mean, it's not horrible. It's definitely usable. It's just before it was more clear.
Okay. Yeah, my problem is I can't hear your side of the conversation. I can only hear what it feeds back to me through the headphone, through the earpiece of the handset.
Yeah, it sounds
Although I guess I can probably... I don't remember if the Open VoIP is recorded on and on radio.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I can go back and listen to it and see what it sounds like.
Is that Publius?
Yep.
Hey.
Ah, welcome.
Yeah, just getting around to realizing that I am not going to make those two chicken pies tonight.
Too many other things going on?
I'm just too tired.
I feel that way, too. Big work day. Can't believe I'm actually back on the computer, but I'm trying not to be hunched over it or stare at it. Like I was all day.
That's what I like about using a phone, is that I can just, you know, I can do anything. I got a 25-foot cord, I can lie in bed.
Hello, Anon Radio listeners. Coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a Bendick with open mic. Anyone can stream.
So right now it's the microphone and the headphones and the SIP client, but better than nothing.
You know, and you're just trying to not get the Ethernet cord tied around your neck.
Right. I'm holding a desk mic in my hand, too. It's got like a stand. It's a round stand, and then the mic pokes up from the middle. It's like a gooseneck.
Yeah, I think I got one of those in a bag somewhere.
Yeah, it's not bad. I just needed a stereo mic in a hurry, and it was the only thing they had at Radio Shack, so...
Wait, you got a Radio Shack?
We do, and it's an independent one.
Yeah,
that's the only reason they even had a mic.
Independents out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that where I live, this was... I live in Fort Worth, right, Radio Shack Central. There used to be one on every street corner, like a 7-Eleven. And now, of course... You know, there weren't any independents out here. It was all corporate stores. Now, of course, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
Isn't Tandy Corporation somewhere around there?
Yeah, I mean, this is where, you know, this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you ever looked at the labels on the bottom of the Radio Shack stuff, it'd say, you know, Tandy Corporation, Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah. I'm old enough to remember when it was either Radio Shack or Lafayette. Like, which one do you want to go to? And my dad and I used to take shoeboxes full of tubes. And you'd take them and put them in the tube checker and then, you know, chuck the bad ones and the ones that might need replacing, you get new ones. And I think Radio Shack and Lafayette had a tube machine. So Lafayette just went out of business.
Tube testers at one time were ubiquitous to the extent they had them in gas stations and places like that. But I guess Radio Shack had them longer than anybody. A friend of mine who worked in one in the 80s said that they had one and it got a lot of business.
Yeah, you don't see many of them around. I think there's one here because it's kind of the only thing in the area. You know, mm-hmm. It serves Bozeman, Montana, and then like the county, and probably people come over from Butte and the surrounding areas. So you add all that together, and you can support a Radio Shack. But They have weird stuff. They have a huge RC car department.
Mm-hmm.
So they do what there's a call for.
Mm-hmm.
And not bad with soldering irons. Like they have real soldering irons, Wellers.
Mm-hmm.
No temperature controlled units, nothing nice like that. But
standard plug-in pencil irons.
Yeah. Some of the
Open VoIP 1088.
At least they have screwdriver tips, and they're not the cheap Radio Shack ones with the pointed tips, which to me are kind of useless. So, yeah, and some PC boards and all that kind of stuff. It's not bad. And they had one mic for $14.95. I think they got a heck of a deal because the packaging was all in Spanish, and it definitely made in China. But none of the packaging was English, so I think they got like the bargain basement, you know, closeout deal. They were probably like $1 each or something. But holds up pretty well. I couldn't use USB on this machine with the mix program, and I couldn't use the mono because it would add another track of the ground, so I had a loud hiss.
Hmm.
And I had to use a stereo mic. It's a deal with Debian and Pulse Audio fighting with ALSA and everything else. So
yeah, it's probably not. It probably assumes that your microphone and your output source are on the same sound card, and it gets probably confused when it's like, oh, there's this whole other thing, you know, a standalone mic on a completely different device.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just really lucky that I haven't had too much in the way of conflicts, despite my absurdly complicated audio setup.
Are you running Linux?
Ubuntu, yeah. So it's you know, it's got ALSA and Pulse Audio both on it. You know, it should be, you know, all the problems should be there, but touch wood, you know, I've been doing this for several years now and not had anything I couldn't resolve by going into it and saying, oh, there's my problem.
Hello, on radio listeners. Coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a Penmic with open mic. Anyone can stream.
Monitor of the built-in stereo or anything to do with the microphone, it'll turn up the mic boost on ALSA radio, and it'll be way over-modulated. And it's like I didn't touch mic boost. So I think it's a matter of which thing I'm using. I just always have to double-check. Most things like this SIP client, it's fine. It's just mix. Things where they're built around ALSA and they don't like Pulse Audio, that's where you run into problems. Next time I'm going to try it with the bypass Pulse Audio mode. I had to do that. I was trying to do that with my USB mic and with a mono mic, and it wasn't working, but I haven't tried it with the stereo mic yet. So that might be the solution, and not even touch Pulse Audio. Just control everything with ALSA, and I might be golden. So.
But yeah, I've got, you know, I've got my three audio devices typically. I could probably pare it down to two if I, you know, but because I've got the digital optical output from my motherboard running into my stereo receiver, and then I've got an outboard sound card which has only one function in life, and that's to serve as a digital optical input.
Oh.
So it translates from SPDIF to USB, effectively. So that I can record digital audio from various things, actually, from laser discs, firstly. But also I have, God forgive me, a digitizing turntable. It's not a USB turntable. It's some kind of a DJ turntable that has an SPDIF output.
Interesting.
Nice.
anyway, so I can play records and they get transformed, you know, transparently into 44.1 16-bit PCM. Anyway, I need to go there. I've got several right now that I need to dub over, but the most fantastic has got to be the soundtrack from the Sonat Lumière presentation at Karnak in Egypt.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if they actually ever sold these to the public or how it wound up at Half Price Books, but it's this two LP set that you play it back. It's the whole narration. It's the English version. There's also a French version somewhere, presumably an Arabic one, although I don't know about that. But it's this narration of the temple, you know, basically the tour that they give at the temples of Thebes and Karnak, and it's really bizarre to listen to.
Wow.
There's all this stuff that sounds like it belongs in the background of a Doctor Who episode or something. You know, you got these, you know, priests chanting that the earth may be fertile and the blood strong.
Yeah, that's where Crowley had his revelation. So, yeah, it's got an interesting history. He's been sampled quite a bit, and if you listen to some dark music, there's some rare recordings of Aleister Crowley that you can find around, and I couldn't even use it in a song now. It's just been so overdone, you know, and he has such a distinctive English accent, and it's very, very proper received pronunciation and everything. So, yeah, there's somewhere he's doing an invocation.
But, yeah, anyways, my favorite is still the record of songs by the King of Thailand, obviously.
Open VoIP 1088.
Do you upload these to, like, archive.org or anything? Or?
I haven't. The record of songs by the King of Thailand, I've made CD copies, and actually I sent the Royal Thai Embassy in Washington a check for $5 once as royalties.
Did you hear any, was there any response?
I didn't get any mail back from them, but they cashed the check. But I can honestly say that I've paid royalty to royalty. But it's fun because it's this sort of 1940s small band style jazz, but of course the lyrics of the songs are all in Thai, and I don't understand a word.
But the rhythms are the same.
Oh, yeah. His late Majesty of the Night.
Hello, on radio listeners. Coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a Pendick with open mic. Anyone can stream.
I forget who it was. Herbie Hancock or somebody? Anyway, he used to have well-known jazz musicians on to perform on his weekly radio show. One of those things you can do when you're a king. Anyway, I don't know if it was Herbie Hancock or who said, if that guy didn't already have a regular gig, I could get him work any night of the week.
Reminds me of King Hussein of Jordan being an amateur radio operator, and I remember being so excited my dad talked to him. My dad is a big ham and was on single sideband, and I was there when he was talking to him, and he was he was nice and polite, and he didn't want anybody to treat him special because he was just another ham. But I think my dad did slip in a Your Highness at the end, just to be gracious. And all right, yeah, 73, yeah. Your Highness.
Yeah, his QSL cards were coveted, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I remember. I think he had it up on the wall. Real nice guy.
Yeah, I forget his call sign was something, you know, it was whatever the country prefix was, followed by, you know, like a zero or something.
Nope. Yeah, my dad was an inspiration for me to be a ham. Took forever, you know, because I was hesitant about learning the code, and when I got my license to get general, you still had to pass the code test, so. Mm-hmm. But then when they lowered it to 5 words per minute, I mean, that's so easy. I used a computer program to learn
that.
It. I can't. It's hard for me to copy five words per minute now unless I write it down because it's too slow. It doesn't sound like words anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like,
yeah.
You lose track. Okay, what was that letter? You know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was a big signal sideband guy, and then later changed over to RTTY, radio teletype, and then that was his big mode for many years. He chased all countries. I think he was on the ARRL honor roll, and I think about 324 countries that he worked. So
wow,
it's up there in the top.
Groovy.
Yeah, that's, you know, some people, he was one of those guys, he would only get on if there was a new country to chase, but he never rag-chewed, didn't care. He did when I was little, but later on, he's, you know how it is with paper chasers, they just want the awards. And that's fine. It's a niche for everybody. He gets a big thrill out of, I finally got, you know, whatever it is, some island that they just put on the air just for that.
Mm-hmm. Although now I'm just envisioning RTTY. Rag chewers, you know, you go through a lot of green bar paper that way.
Yeah, and PSK, that kind of came and went. I dumped on that for a little while, but I'm a Morse code guy. I like CW.
Okay.
I never had a bad CW conversation.
Cool.
But I've heard people arguing on sideband before and it getting heated. I don't like that.
Yeah, I got my amateur radio license basically so that I had something in my wallet so I could show people and say, you know that thing where it says no user serviceable parts inside? Yeah. But I succeeded in passing all three exams in a single sitting, which the guy administering the exam said that he'd seen that done once before.
Yeah, it's somewhat rare. It's not impossible, but it's rare.
Well, it's a lot easier these days.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say it's anything like when my friend had to drive to Denver from Albuquerque in order to go to the FCC office there and sit there.
Wow.
Yeah, she managed to pass, and the thing was she has the worst test taking anxiety of anyone I've ever heard of. But she passed anyway. But yeah, she's actually sent me a radio she's not using anymore, and I'm going to see if I can make it work for me.
Oh,
good. She was a big mobile operator for a long time. Had, you know, great big orange van with all these aerials on it.
Yeah, I think I took my technician license, passed that, and then he said, "Do you want to take the general? Just give."
ハロー&ウェルカム。この番組は、It is now time for SDF